Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight, we're having a little conversation about some of the biggest bedroom mistakes people make. And I'd say that the biggest mistakes aren't like, oh, you slipped out, or oh, you weren't, you know, skilled enough. That's not really it. There are bigger mistakes that we make. We'll be talking about those. We're also going to be talking about a few things when it comes to the biggest mistakes. So we're going to be talking about how routine can sort of help at times, but it can also kill the excitement, and how sometimes the communication, lack of communication can actually lead to a lot of assumptions, presumptions, lack of creativity, lack of having all of your needs be met. And as much as how routine can kill excitement, the thing is, sometimes, as we discussed in the last episode, routine can sometimes kill it, but sometimes you can use that as a way to feel like you can rely on a certain day that you're going to be having sex, and you can use that day to be super creative and try something new. So, different ideas on how to work with it. There's also, and I've talked about this many times too, performance over presence. So we're going to be talking about the pressure to perform instead of connect, but performance versus presence. Presence is so valuable. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about different strategies to be able to use them so you can have a more enjoyable bedroom time, kids. Kids. Hopefully, those of you who are listening know that these episodes are for adults. It's an adult show, 18 plus. If you're listening and you're younger, I hope that you know that you should be having your parents' permission for that. If you're like me and you were 12 listening to Sex with Sue and you were completely curious and you were being educated by it, you know, kudos to you for your curiosity. Hopefully your parents are aware of what you're up to. So speaking of what I was up to when I was 12, one of the things I was up to at the age of 12 was my curiosity into human sexuality. And that started actually younger than that, but I didn't really understand what that meant. I was very curious about pleasure, how to have it, what to do to have it. And then, yeah, it was around grade 7 or 8, I started listening to this radio station in Canada called Q107, and Sunday nights from like 8 to 10 or something like that, Sex with Sue would come on, and she was educational. We never really saw her till years later, unless, of course, you were going to a school where she went and did a lecture at your school, but my school didn't have her come in and do a talk. So I never really knew what she looked like till like 10 years after I was listening to her, and she was surprising because she was like not super sexified. She wasn't like somebody who glammed it up. And so I felt like I could relate to her because I don't glam it up either. I just show up. I happen to have a lot of experience and a lot of education, and that's what she had. So I feel akin to Sue sometimes, and I feel like she is a great inspiration. She's dead now, but still her energy lives on. And all of us who used to watch her, listen to her. Some people eventually watched her. She ended up with a cable TV show where she had like dildos out on her desk and stuff. She would have like hit, if she was around, like if she was just starting out her show back in the day when YouTube started, if she was like fresh on the edge, she would have really gone probably she would have gone viral at some point. Maybe she did even when she was still alive. Anyhow, dwelling on Sue. So, between that and having an education also in university, I studied psychology. So I have a BA with that has an emphasis in psychology. Then I further studied and I studied and I've been working at things and I'm a holistic health practitioner. And in my daily practice, I have found that people have come to me with issues and oftentimes the underlying core thing going on, because as a holistic health practitioner, we don't just look at your pain, we look at physical pain necessarily. We look at the emotional, we look at your environment, we look at everything. It's a holistic picture. So there were several people when I first started my practice who would come in and they would kind of mysteriously have these things going on. And I knew there was something deeper. I knew it was more. I knew that their chronic pain was more than just chronic pain that the doctors couldn't figure out the meds to. I knew that there was, men who were coming in all the time because they had, lower back pain, but I'm thinking there's something else. And eventually they would start to say, I've got this other problem. The guys particularly would be like, so I've got this problem. And you'd wait, there'd be a pause. And they'd go, it's, and then they wouldn't really finish it. They wouldn't be like, it's erectile dysfunction. They'd be like, it's, and they kind of would just look down at their crotch and then sadly, and then they'd look up at you or me, whatever. And they'd look up at me and you could tell in their eyes that there was like sadness, disappointment, self-judgment, criticism, all this stuff going on. And at the core root of it was they couldn't even say it. They couldn't admit that there was erectile dysfunction happening. At the core root of it, a lot of them had relationships where the women demasculinated them all the time. And so they weren't interested because they really didn't want to be belittled. So they weren't turned on. So these were the men I was running into, and I don't know if that's like a common theme or if that just happened to be like a common theme across the world, why men have erectile dysfunction. And we did have somebody on a couple weeks ago who does hypnosis who talked about that. And but I've seen it as a theme that there's often something going on. Stressors, whether it's financial stressors, emotional stressors, family or health stressors, there's stressors that have overwhelmed the person and they don't know how to navigate that. So we are going to talk about all that because what I realized in my practice is that sex and health are very connected. As much as we can pretend that they're very separate things, they're very much not, and they impact each other. Your health impacts your sex life, your sex life impacts your health. Now, for those of you who are like, well, I don't have a sex life, the thing is, whether you have one or not, it's your sexual expression or your creative expression as well can come out that way. So you might not have any sex, but you might be like an avid artist who's moving that energy out in other ways. Then you've got that creation energy flowing. Sex is basically the rudimentary version of creation, right? So it's the fundamental and rudimentary version. And so we're looking at that as how does that impact our health? It does. And that's not the topic of today, but that is how I ended up getting to where I am and what I do. So we're going to talk about bedroom, all the mistakes that happen in the bedroom. And the reason why I wrote this as the biggest bedroom mistakes rather than the biggest sexual mistakes is because these are even before the act of sex starts, right? So we're talking about the things that could be going on in your home environment that lead to having issues in the bedroom. In other words, in your intimate life. And so that communication gap, that's the main one we're going to talk about right now, is, the communication trap or the communication gap can be both. The communication trap, we'll start with that. So the communication trap would be where we make assumptions. The communication gap would be where we don't have the language to express what our desires and needs are. So I just created that on the fly, kids, but I'm pretty sure that's accurate. So the communication trap is what leaves us in a place of assumptions. We're thinking my partner wants A, B, C, and D, and they want it in this particular way, And there's no questions asked. There's no actual interaction, communication going on. But the communication gap is where we don't have the language or know how to say what we actually desire. So the communication gap, it's like mind the gap, you know, when you go to get on the subways wherever you live. If you've ever been on a subway, there's usually in England, there's a mind the gap when you go to get on the tube. And you mind the gap because, you know, things can fall down the gap. You can fall down the gap. The gap can become something that can become problematic. We want to be aware of the gap, and we want to make sure that we are not going to fall through the gap. So the gap in language can occur. It doesn't even mean that like people could be speaking different languages. They can often, even if you speak different languages, you can often translate and have communication. Google Translate's amazing for that these days. It's not really so much of do we understand each other's language? It's do we have the words to express what our desires and needs are? That's where the communication gap lies. If you want to ask for a blowjob, but you're afraid to say the words blowjob, that would be a communication gap. The communication trap would be where you've assumed your partner should know because you shoved your wiener in their face, that they're supposed to know that that means you want a blowjob. And to me, if you can't say it, you shouldn't get it. That's how I feel. And if you don't know what you're asking for, you shouldn't get it. Yep, I know it's rude, but I dare you to go practice actually asking for what you would like. So if you can't ask for it, if you can't say it, why are you doing it? If you can't say to somebody, you know what I'd really like is for you to play with my anus until my body relaxes, and then I want you to penetrate me with either your penis or a dildo until I absolutely scream with ecstasy. That's what I want. And if you can just boldly say that, fantastic. You're kind of comfortable with the situation and yourself and your body, and you can ask for what you like. But if you're like, I can't tell you how many people. I haven't counted. That's why I can't tell you how many people would be like, I could never say that. If you can't say it, but you want it, practice saying it first. The communication gap and the communication trap of assuming people should know what you want, know what your desires are, know what your needs are. They should know that I want them to ask me to have sex. No, they should know that I want what I want for Christmas. No, it's anything where there's an assumption that creates a communication trap. Those traps, even though they might not seem like they're specifically related to sex and intimacy, can lead to issues in sex and intimacy. So that communication trap of, well, they should know I'm mad. They should know that I want them to do A, B, C, and D. They should know that I don't like that. They should know I don't like my flowers cut that way. Could be anything. I think about that because I have some deadheading to do in my garden, but there's not really a wrong way to do it. Some people might say there is. It's very simple stuff to do. But if you get into the communication trap where you're making assumptions all the time about where there should be a yes as well, like just because you put your wiener in somebody's face doesn't mean that person needs to stick your wiener in their mouth. And we're going to use the word wiener today because it cracks me up. So, for those of you listening and you're like, why are there the gaps in time? My mouth is dry today, kids. So, if you're only listening on audio, apologies for those little split second delays. That's not actually a problem I'm having. It's a problem I'm having with recording. This is a problem that I'm having in my mouth. The dry mouth, talking about blowjobs. My body's already getting like my salivary glands are like woo woo. So we're going to talk more about those communication gaps and traps. There's a lot of them. We tend to ignore them. We tend to go through life assuming they're just going to fix themselves. They don't. We need to look at them. We're going to talk about those other points as well that I'd mentioned at the start of the show. So if you are feeling that after I've talked about this communication gap thing and you're like, oh yeah, I can't say what I'm asking for, what I'd like and asking for, now's a great time to go practice. Practice those words out. See what does it feel like to say it? Would you be willing to give me a blowjob? Just see what that would sound like, or even say, I like blowjobs. I'd like to, if you've never had one, I'd like to try having a blowjob, or whatever it happens to be. Blowjobs are pretty vanilla, I would think, but maybe they're not. Maybe even for some people, blowjobs are out there. I don't know. So I think everybody's version of vanilla is slightly different. So yeah, I'm not going to judge your vanilla. If your vanilla is more vanilla than blowjobs, that's cool. And if blowjobs are out of reach in your imagination, well, congratulations. Now's a great time to be like, I'd like to try giving you a blowjob. I'd like to try getting a blowjob. We can ask for all kinds of wild and wacky fun things. So, kids, we're going to head to the first commercial break. You're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial. In the meantime, look at this. My book, go buy it on Amazon. Oh yeah, heading to commercial now.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show, with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, sweet pleasure seekers. Just before break, I kind of teased you and I was like, go get my book on Amazon. And you're like, wait, I want to go order it. Well, go order it. It's called The Pleasure Zone, A Curious Guide for Pleasure Seekers by Milica Jelinic. And one of the reasons I say go get it is because not only do I have a lot of the tips and tools that we'll be talking about on today's show, because, well, communication is key and I talk about it a lot. Creativity is key and I talk about it a lot. Most of the four main C's that I talk about, communication, consent, curiosity, and connection, are all things we're going to be talking about today as the things we need to pay attention to in our bedroom so that we're not making bedroom mistakes. So when I talk about those, I've been talking about them for years. So they're also in the Pleasure Zone, A Curious Guide for Pleasure Seekers. And the episode or the book has free resources. And you'll find when you order it that there's like a link for you to go get the free resources. There's like a little thing to show you how to find your free resources. Even if you order an ebook, you can find the free resources. So there are exercises in here, and I've had people already tell me how they've used these and it's been advantageous to their relationship. They're finding themselves feeling more connected in their partnership. And I absolutely love that because I had a few people do some preview reading for me that I really valued their opinion. So I asked them to do some previews for me to see if they felt like the voice matched me. And one of the ladies had been reading it with her lover at the time, and they still, lover still, I should say, And they found it super beneficial. So I love that. I love that. And yeah, lots of great tips, tools, and guidance in this book. If even if I wasn't the author of it, I'd be like, that's handy. And it's not a long read either. So go grab that because you love me and you want to. Also, please go follow me on Apple Podcasts and give me a great big 5 stars. I'm getting closer to my 5-star rating that I wanted. I'm getting higher up there. Somebody had ranked me poorly, but I think Amazon dropped that bad ranking because it was like nonsense. And now my ratings are getting up there, but I'd like to have more 5 stars, my friends. But also when you go to get this on Amazon, please give a review as well. And, you know, ratings there count too. I love my ratings. Like, comment, share as per usual, wherever you can. If you do have show ideas that are things that I have not addressed yet in the 12 years that I've had this show, please feel free to write to me and be like, you know what, I've had this particular issue and I don't think I found a show about that, that you've talked about that. If I have, I'll send you the episode. If I haven't, I'll absolutely do a show. If you want me to name your name and dedicate it to you, I'd be happy to do that too. I love having communication with my listeners. I love it. I've, you know, created friendships with people who are listeners, which is so fun. That's something I never would have had a chance to do without this. So, okie doke. What are we talking about today, guys? We're talking about the mistakes that we make in the bedroom. And the number one is, like, we were talking about the difference between the communication trap and the communication gap. It's kind of like throwing things out on the fly, but the communication trap to me is the assumptions. The communication gap is the lack of the ability to communicate what you would like, your needs and desires, having the language or having the courage to say what you would like. So that is something to definitely play with and consider. How do we change that? How do we start to communicate more effectively? Because the effective communication is one of those things that we can all work towards and work on. 12 years of doing this show and I still stumble over my words sometimes. It's always in a position of growth, right? As I'm just proving to you guys that I sometimes stumble over my words. That's the beauty of doing it live and not having a script. So you can feel with me, experience with me, follow the energy with me. And, you know, the whole thing. So we're just going to tap right back into the communication trap of assuming your partner should always just know. They should just instinctively understand what you like. They should know what turns you on. They should know that, you know, you can get an orgasm by somebody twiddling with your earlobes. They do not know that because it's not common. And everybody has different things. Most body parts get aroused in a similar fashion with different kinds of touch or different temperatures or different ways of experiencing sensory experiences on body parts. Those are, so licking, looking, touching, smelling, listening. Listening is one of the sexiest things we can do, but touch is pretty sexy too. And so is licking, and so as in taste, and so is looking. Sometimes just looking without touching can be really hot. Anyhow, I've done many episodes on senses and how you can play with them, and not so obvious ways we can play with our sentences, the not so obvious ways we can play with our senses. So we're going to just tap back into the assumptions. If you're assuming that your partner knows exactly what you would like, don't assume that. If you've discussed things that you like and your partner follows through, fantastic. That indicates that they are good at listening to you, they're being present, and they understand what your request is. If you've specifically said what you would like and your partner does something completely off the wall different, then they're assuming they know better about your body than you do. They might be trying to be creative, but if they are trying to be creative, what I would hope they would lead with was like, I hear you and I will do that for you. Is it okay if I first try a little something else that I came across the other day and thought might be fun? And then you have a choice whether to go with the thing that you're really wanting and or whether you're willing to explore into the curious zone and see what else is available. So I would hope that they don't just completely ignore what you're asking for. And I would certainly hope that you know how to ask for what you would like. If you don't, go back and listen to my many, many, many shows on how to approach subjective asking for what you would like, or head over to my website where you're going to find that I have a bunch of I have a yes, no's, maybe list that you can grab. And the yes, no, maybes list is a pretty simple list to start with to start the conversation that, you know, you could be asking for, say, a blowjob in the kitchen with a candlestick, because we're going to play Clue with that, or Cluedo if you're in England. No, I'm kidding. No candlestick involved this time. That's on the kinky version. But it does have locations, it has toys, it has things. It just helps open the creativity up a little bit, helps to start a conversation. And I love that I've been seeing more and more of you are downloading that, because every time you download, I get a little thing that says so and so has downloaded. I love that. And if you're one of the people who has downloaded in the last few months and hasn't followed through on like booking a time to go through your list with me, if you'd like to go through your list with me, go book that time on my website. I give everybody 15 minutes. And if you've already had your 15 minutes, I do track that so I would know. Anyhow, okay, so don't assume. Please don't assume that you know what your partner would like. Test it out, play around, get eye contact, communicate during sex. Do you like this? Would you like this? How do you feel about this? What about this? Right? You can ask all kinds of sort of leading questions that will help give you feedback. And if, you know, if you assume that you know, since you like a lot of foreplay, that your partner's going to like a lot of foreplay as well, or that your partner should know that you like a lot of foreplay, they probably don't. If you've been assuming the whole time that, well, my needs and wants have changed, shouldn't my partner know? Shouldn't, well, didn't their needs and wants change? Desires change? Maybe not. Their needs and desires might not have changed at all, but you're assuming because yours have that theirs have. And that's not always the case. So, what do we have to do? Communicate. Yeah, that means you need to actually mention, you know, in the last little while, I've been having this desire to try A, B, C, and D. Let's try these things. And then, you know, your partner will either be like, whoa, that scares me. I don't know if I can handle having a butt plug put into my anus while you give me a blowjob and pour hot oil on my nipples. That's a little much. Can we start with one of those? Like, maybe we'll just start with the blowjob and hot oil and we'll move on to the butt plug later. I know I gave you guys like a really extreme example, but sometimes what you're looking, that's not even that extreme, guys, but sometimes what you're looking for is like you want the whole picture, but you don't realize that you can get steps into the picture. So why I gave you such a like a big picture of that is so that you could go, okay, wait a second, Dan. If they're like, wow, I can't handle that, just say, is there anything in that you feel comfortable with that we could start with? And maybe it's like, I could maybe handle the blowjob, but I don't know about the hot oil and the butt plug. Cool, let's start with that. Let me know if you ever feel curious about trying the other things. Cool. Leads an opening there. And then, you know, if they've never brought it up again in years and it's something you really want to try, then you know, bring up that conversation again and say, like, this is something that's been really important to me that I really would like to try. And if you're not comfortable with it, you just have to then check with yourself. Like, if this thing you really desire is something that your partner can't deliver, is that a deal breaker? Is that something that's going to destroy your marriage or your partnership? If it is, then that's a time to really think about why is that so important to you? And sometimes it can be a very simple thing, a very simple request to most, but the person refuses it. And then it's also to find out why is the partner refusing it, because we might not have the whole story. Maybe they were violated and that exactly same thing happened to them. Maybe they were raised in something culturally where that is a total no-no and you just don't do that because it's you're going to go to hell or something. So we can find out through conversation like what's going on. Having somebody like me that's a sex and intimacy coach navigate that with you is helpful, which is why I offer those 15-minute free meetings with me so we can see whether I'd be a good fit for you and or your partner. So what I suggest is that you start to practice having conversations about the things that might feel awkward. And also have conversations about, not just about the sex part, but have conversations about the overall satisfaction of your relationship. Like, do you feel that things like household chores are shared equitably? I don't say evenly, but I say equitably. Equitably would be like everybody does what they can handle and manage. So that could be even like a three-year-old helping to clean up and tidy their mess. Doesn't mean that they're going to be cutting the grass, because that would be equality. Everybody gets to cut the grass. We're talking about equitable. So everybody can do what they can manage. So in your house, do you have that? Do you feel that there's open communication about, you know, finances? Because that's a number one, you know, that and sex are the two killers of relationships. So if you can have open conversations about things like that involve your home, that involve your family, if you have a family, your partnership, your sex life, and your finances, if I didn't mention that. Yeah. So if you can openly have conversations about things, you're in a much better place than most people. Those conversations are key. We are going to head to our next commercial break. You are going to head over to Amazon and grab The Pleasure Zone, A Guide for Curious Pleasure Seekers by Milica Jelinek, because you can, because it's, I don't know, maybe it's under $5 for sure for the ebook. And you can also get a soft cover or a hard cover. And why not? It's fun. Great read. You can probably read it in under 2 hours, I think. I'm a thorough reader and I read it in like an hour and a half. But if you're also using it as a guidebook, you can take your time and play with that. So heading off to commercial break, you're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinek, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinek, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinek. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinek.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. In the last few segments, we were learning all about the pleasure trap versus the pleasure gap and how those can affect the bedroom, because we just can't say what we would like. And sometimes we make assumptions that just don't work. And healthy lovers are the ones that are willing to have those conversations that are uncomfortable. They're willing to also be curious enough to ask what the other person would like. They're also willing to be curious enough to ask about things if the energy feels off or something feels weird or if your partner seems worried. And healthy partners will then open a conversation instead of doing the silent treatment or being weird about it. So instead of assuming you know everything about your partner because you've been with them for 5 years or 10 or 15 years or whatever it happens to be, don't assume you know everything about them. I've been with my husband for 13 years and randomly he still tells me stories that are like, what? And I just found out the other day from my daughter that apparently my mom lore can still be surprising. Like I thought I've told all my stories a million times, but apparently I haven't. I still have mom lore that has not been heard. So that's cool. You can always learn more about people. So part deux, we're going to learn about how routine can be a little bit too predictable depending on who you are. So does routine work for you? That's the big question. For some people, routine can absolutely kill curiosity. We don't want to kill curiosity because curiosity killed the cat. And what's another name for cat that we know? Pussy. That's right. We don't want curiosity to kill the cat or any other word we might use for cat, right? So we're going to replace routine with curiosity. And although if routine really helps you, use it. For me, I'm not a routine person. In fact, routine goes against every grain of my being. I don't get a lot done when I have to be in routine of having only a certain amount of things at a certain amount of time done, because I can get in a groove and I just might want to only do one thing for an extended period of time when I get in the energy of it. So I operate a little different than where people are like, having a routine will keep you healthy. Not everyone. And sometimes routine sex will become so redundant and boring that you're like, I'd rather not. Because it's, remember last Tuesday, same thing. I know I always like to use Tuesdays as a reference. Maybe it's Tuesdays with Maury. I don't know. I never read that book, by the way, so I don't even know what it's about. But what I do know is that being overly predictable, as much as it can feel safe for some things, excessive amounts of routine can become boring. So predictability and knowing how somebody will react to certain things, that's helpful. Knowing that your partner is emotionally stable is so helpful that even if you were crying about something, they could be solid and there with you. They can be the grounded partner, and that, you know, if you need somebody to be grounded for you, they can be that and you can be that for them. That's great. That means that there's safety in the relationship, emotional safety. But they're like everything being routine, having it all planned out, having the makeout session basically written out as a script and be like A, B, C, and D. This is how we do it, and this is the order we do it in. Blah. That's like a little bit of vomit in my mouth thinking about it, but we don't necessarily want that because it's just gonna kill off the excitement of feeling like there's interest. It becomes like an obligation. An obligation sex is blah. That's a whole other segment I could talk about. Obligation sex is definitely a killer in the bedroom. I've done entire episodes dedicated to obligation sex. So you can go listen to those so I don't have to jump over topics again. We're talking about routine. Routine. And our brains love novelty. They'll actually grow and there'll be new neural connections when we try new things. And you'll have increased dopamine activity. So your body's going to feel happy because dopamine is one of those happy hormones, right? So it's that dose of happy hormones. D is the dopamine, O is the oxytocin, S is the serotonin, and E is the endorphins. We need that dose of happy hormones in order for our bodies to feel like they've been rewarded, our brains to feel rewarded by whatever we're doing. And feeling rewarded then helps us feel like we want to do more and try more and learn more, right? So novelty is really helpful in keeping us excited, interested, motivated to move forward. So if you know that like every day at the same time, in the same way, you're going to have the exact same positions that you've been having for the last 25 years, and there's no passion left, there's only positions, pa passion versus positions. And if we have that, and we don't want that to disappear, like we do not want our bodies and our lives to get bored, right? So we want to make sure that we are on track to be curious. How do you get curious? Well, sometimes it's helpful to do a little reference things like maybe go get a Kama Sutra, maybe go get some tantric books, maybe just go get something that involves something a little different that you've never tried, maybe investigate some simple steps into kink. And I've had episodes on all of these things, by the way. So you can go listen to my episodes on this. You can go grab some books for visuals on this as well. That's the one thing that I don't have on my show right now is visuals, because they would be so X-rated. I'd probably get kicked off of here. But try something you've never tried. It helps you create new neural connections, helps to have your brain feel like it's being rewarded for trying something new. So now you're going to have a dopamine hit, even if it's something just as simple as putting on a blindfold for the very first time while you have sex. That can add a little something. Next time, add a little something else. You can get super creative. And if you need help with that, that's why I'm here. That's part of the work I do. I don't just get you out of trauma into pleasure. I get you into pleasure and help you keep having pleasure and growing that and continuing to have it. So as much as we often need to get out of the trauma in order to have the pleasure, we also need to know how to allow that pleasure to grow and exponentialize. So new ideas, new things to play with, those are all helpful, and they're all going to be part of that growth sphere and getting you out of anything like routines that are killers. So what do we want to do? Might want to try some extreme things like trying out kink, trying out completely do new positions, might want to share some fantasies, might want to even just try something outside of sex, like pottery class or dance class. You might also want to make sure that you have more than like 25 minutes to have, or 30 minutes, or however long it is until, you know, your kid is done their nap. You might want to make sure you have uninterrupted time to be together so that you can do whatever you want, whether it's just lying naked and sipping wine and staring at each other and flicking each other's nipples. I don't know what you guys are up to in your bedrooms, but I'd like to know. So definitely, if you're, you know, laying around having wine and flicking nipples, let me know, because I think that would be just fine and dandy and fun and kind of effortless. So have fun with that. I've never just sat around flicking nipples as like an entire thing to do. I mean, I randomly will flick nipples for fun, but that's you know, that's what it is. So also just exploring sensual touch without having to finish everything off, right? So without having to have penetration, play. We're looking at how do you play so that you can have more curiosity build, more ideas come in. And then, you know, all the stuff that would be creating the routine doldrum that makes you just want to walk away will start to create excitement. So as much as routine can be comfortable, after a time, it can actually be a killer of sexual desire. And curiosity can actually create better connection with your partner. It can create more excitement. It can create a lot of things that you're probably looking for, which is why you're listening to this show, right? You're like, yeah, I've been in the doldrums for quite a while. You might even be having some problems connecting, period, right? Just connecting with your partner. And you're like, I don't know. We don't seem to connect anymore. Maybe you have nothing in common. Maybe you don't have time for each other. Maybe you just seem like completely different people. But there might have been something when you first met that had you connect with each other. Sometimes you need to look back at what was that? What was that centering, grounding thing? If that centering and grounding thing has gone, but you still like each other enough that you want to try to see if you can love each other again, if you can be hot for each other again, you're going to need to find a new centering thing. And I say that because a lot of people center their entire relationships around children if they have them, or pets if they have them, or a business if they've collaborated on a business. And some people will use all three: a business, their children, and a pet, to try and find a centering thing because they don't really have a connection to each other. So then you need to develop something that you have in common that will help connect you to each other. And that's where, you know, taking up hobbies, you know, maybe you're going to learn golfing or something. Taking up a hobby where you can share quality time together can really help to bring you back to center. But to me, the center really should always be having faith. Having a similar faith is helpful, and having something that is not transient, that can die, is helpful. So the only thing that I'm aware of that doesn't have death is the energy that we refer to as the universe or God. So having that as a centering, a thing that you center your relationship on, can definitely have your relationship feel stronger. That's a side note. But we are going to get back to a few of these comments because I have one more segment left. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network. We will be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show, with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Today we're talking about mistakes that are, you know, bedroom mistakes, those big bedroom mistakes, which are often things like not having communication, not being able, and making the assumptions rather than asking, and then abandoning curiosity in favor of comfort. And things also like, so we got communication, connection is next. Yeah, so connection. So that's what we're talking about, performance versus presence. And that's the connecting. So presence. And when I was just flipping through my book, it was funny, like on break, I was like, okay, let me just flip through and see what pops. And I didn't mark it off, but I popped right open to a quote that I wrote about being present in your body, not just in your head. And here's something that I said in my book. One of the biggest pieces of mindfulness is presence, actually being there. And when you're present, your attention naturally starts to focus. Your energy goes somewhere specific instead of being scattered all over the place. Some people will call this intentionality, but I feel like it's more like being with the person instead of thinking about it. So being with it. And so I could go on. There's an entire segment in there for a few pages about presence. To me, presence is one of the sexiest things a person can offer you, and they can be there with you, looking at you, listening to you, using all their senses to be present instead of worrying about, am I doing the sex right? Is the sex being done correctly? For if it is, then everyone should have pleasure in the end, and they get like logical about it. Pleasure and logic, I don't know. Logic can be sexy for sure, because I, you know, as a sapiosexual, I love logic and I love conversations that challenge my brain. But not everybody gets turned on by that. So logic isn't sexy to everyone. If you're Vulcan, you might find it sexy too. Star Trek reference for those who get it. So if you instead of worrying about having an orgasm, instead of worrying about is your erection hard enough, instead of worrying about your body image or how am I looking today, am I lasting long enough, instead of all of that, just be with your body in the presence of your partner's body and see what happens. It's not really relevant whether your sex lasts 10 minutes or 3 hours. It's like if your sex lasts 3 hours, but the whole time you're thinking about a million other things, like you're thinking about doing your taxes, or you're thinking about, oh my God, when will this person like finally come? This is crazy. Let's get her over with. If you're doing that rather than just being with that person intensely, 10 minutes intensely is far sexier than 3 hours of disconnect. So you can do quality over quantity. Sometimes you can have quality and quantity, which is amazing too. So instead of being, too worried about being perfect, just get present. You can breathe to get present. I've done a lot of episodes on this. So presence versus, oops. Yeah. So presence versus performance. I think I have an actual title called that of a show maybe in the last 2 years. So go back and like specifically listen to that. It's going to give you a lot of insights into how to get present. Lots of different key takeaways from that. Connection will actually create better sex. Presence and connection will create better sex than performance perfection ever will. And that's true for a lot of things, not just sex. Like true for artists, true for musicians, true for people in theater. It's all like when you're present, and then your words will flow, your art will flow, your movement will flow. It's all so much more better. So the other thing we don't want to do is ignore emotional intimacy outside of the bedroom. So one of the problems can happen is that the only time you have conversations is when you've had sex, or right before or right after. You need to have these conversations ongoing so that it's like you're connecting at many times of the day or the week or however it is that you have availability. Like I know many people who don't live together, but they're lovers, or they might even live in different parts of the world, and so they don't get to see each other. But when you are in each other's presence, whether it's on the phone or like whatever it happens to be, that you're having conversations about how you feel about, life, how you feel about your partner, what's going on in your world. Actually, talk about what you feel. It can be really helpful in creating intimacy outside of the bedroom, because true intimacy is not the body parts coming together in what we call sex. True intimacy has to do with the vulnerability that we have in order to be able to see ourselves in the presence of others and be able to see others when we are present and not judge them. So we want to make sure that we work on things like unresolved resentments. We want to work on things like if you're chronically criticizing your partner, which that can be really hard on people for sure, or if you are emotionally neglecting them all the time, except for when they give you sex. That can feel like you're being used, and it can feel ugly. And over time, there can be resentments. So, those are some really key things to work on. I definitely wouldn't neglect those. Look at them as some of the top priorities, even though I mentioned them last. The top priority is to create intimacy outside the bedroom so that you can have better intimacy inside the bedroom, which means that you have better connection and presence and curiosity and communication, all the good stuff when you're actually having sex. And that spreads out to the rest of your day. What does that feel like? Does that feel intimidating or does that feel delightful? I hope for those of you who are listening, the idea of being that intimate with your partner on a daily basis in order to strengthen your relationship on all levels feels really sexy. I hope it feels really sexy, because if it feels like threatening or too
Thank
much
you for
work,
choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.